We are going to be in the Old Testament tonight, in the book of Ezra, as we look at the journey of faith tonight. Ezra chapter 8. We begin in verse 21 and read down through verse 36. 21 through 36, Ezra chapter 8. Beginning in verse 21. The Word of God tells us here, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold, of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, Ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them, until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah the son of Benui, Levites, by number and by weight of every one, and all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before You tonight, once again, we praise You for this beautiful day, for another opportunity to open the Word of God together, and for another chance to worship. Father, we ask Your blessing upon our time together tonight. I ask that You would bless this passage of Scripture, Lord. And Lord, as we begin to look at it now, that You would reveal to us Your truths, and God, that we might receive a blessing at Your hand. I pray that You would use me tonight, that Your Spirit would speak through me. And Father, that every person that is here this evening might receive a blessing at being in the house of the Lord. We do pray for those tonight, Lord, in our midst who have physical needs, and we think of Kevin. We lift him up before You and we ask, Father, that You would give him relief from this pneumonia. And God, if it's Your will, that You would touch his body and bring relief from the cancer. I pray for his soul tonight, Father, that he might come to know Christ as his Savior. Above all else, Father, we pray for his soul. I also pray tonight thanking You that Heather was out with us this morning and for the progress that she has made since her operation on her foot. Lord, we do praise and thank You that she is able to be out and around, and God, we give You praise that this woman is so faithful in the attendance in the church. And Lord, there are many other needs in our midst. And Father, You know them all, and we leave them in Your hands. We give You praise. God, it's a wonderful thing to have You, to know You, and to serve You. And now, Lord, as we come to Your Word, we ask that You would bless it greatly in our midst. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we touched upon election and we talked about how God chooses people. people that he knows will choose him. And tonight we're going to look at a man by the name of Ezra. And Ezra was a priest without a temple. He was in the line of Aaron, but he was in captivity in Babylon. Now God had taken the nation of Israel into captivity. He had allowed them to be taken into captivity because of their idolatry, because of their great sin in disobeying. And we find that the entire nation was taken out of the land over a period of years. And God told them that he would deliver them out of the land that he was taking them into, but it would be 70 years. 70 years is up. And God is beginning to move now in the hearts of the Persian kings. And instead of the people being in bondage, they have been freed under the Persian kings, and they have a semblance of normalcy now that they did not know under Babylon. He also moved the hearts of the kings to show favor to the Israelites, and 50,000 of them had returned to Jerusalem and had begun to rebuild the walls and the temple. Under Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, we find that there was progress made, but they ran into a lot of difficulties. Satan put up a lot of roadblocks. And the people that had returned to the land became discouraged, and they built houses, and they worked on the wall, but the temple never did get finished. And so God began to move in Ezra's heart. And Ezra was a priest, but he was also a great student of the Word. He was a student of the Scriptures, and he had those Scriptures, and he devoted himself to those Scriptures, and he wanted more than anything to be able to return to Jerusalem and to teach the Word of God to the people there. And so he went to the king, Artaxerxes, at this time, and he asked him if it would be possible, after he had given a complete testimony to his God, to this king, he asked him if it would be possible for this king to allow him to return to the land of Jerusalem, to be able to teach the Word of God there and to see the temple finished. And the king allowed him this privilege. Ezra was thrilled. Not only did the king say that he could return, but he said that all of the Jews in the land, all the Jews in the Persian Empire, could return to Jerusalem at this time. Ezra was absolutely stunned. He thought, surely there will be a tremendous amount of people that will be willing to go. But when the word went out, only 1,700 of the Jews said, we'll go. And Ezra was crushed by that news. He couldn't believe it. But you see, the people, now that they were no longer in servitude, for most of them, this was all they ever had known. They grew up. They were born here. They grew up here. And they'd heard great stories about Jerusalem, and they'd heard great stories about their God, but they didn't really have the faith to go. And in order to uproot everybody and their families, it was quite an undertaking. So they were content to live in the world. And they rejected the offer of going home. It would be easy for us to look at that and say, how could they do that? But Jesus Christ has put out the call to the world that we can come home through Him. And how few of us, how few of the population of all the world will leave the world and take the hand of God and step up by faith and prepare to go home? There are very few. Very few indeed. Jesus said that there would be few that find that narrow path. Ezra, when he gathered the people together and he realized who he had there, he recognized that there were no priests, not one. No Levite had offered to go home. And so he began to go out amongst the people, amongst the Levites, and he began to recruit them until he had about 2,000 people. And he had some Levites that were willing to go and work in the temple once the temple was completed and to see the things of God set forth. And tonight we're going to look at the progress that was made, what they did, and we're going to see in what they did seven steps of faith and how it correlates to the life as Christians that we have. If you would look with me to verse 21, actually verses 21 through 23, we see the first of the steps of faith. In verse 21 it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." The first thing that Ezra did when he gathered all the people together was he challenged their faith. He told them, he said, "We're going to leave. We've got a long ways to go, and it's dangerous." And he said, "The easiest thing for me to do would be to go to the king and say, listen, would you send soldiers with us? Would you protect us as we make our way home?" But he said, "I've already told him how powerful our God is. I've already told him what a tremendous God we serve." He said, "I've told him how our God protects his people." He said, "If I were to go back now and say, we need soldiers, he would look at me and he would say, I thought your God could protect you." And so Ezra said, "I will not go back and ask of this king one more thing. What I am going to do is ask God's people to fast and to pray. I want you to make things right with God before we take one step. I want you, if we're going to make this trip together, I want you to be in God's will. I want you to trust God with all of your heart. Before we take one step, you will put your complete focus and your complete trust in our God." And so they began to fast. And they spent some time there, doing nothing but praying, preparing themselves spiritually for this journey, but also preparing themselves spiritually in their heart and in their soul to honor God. A God that many of them had forsaken and knew very little about. They'd grown up in a land under false gods, and now Ezra wanted them to commit themselves totally to the one true God. He said, "I want you to trust. We will not take one step until you trust." And if you stop and think about that, as Christians, we can't do one thing for God. We can't do anything for ourselves. We are completely helpless and we are hopeless until we learn to trust God. Until we will bow down before Him and make things right with Him and repent of the sin in our lives. Because that is exactly what Ezra told these people to do. He said, "I want you to repent. I want you to fast before God. I want you to confess your sins. And I want you to be right with God before we move." It's quite an undertaking. But the people listened to him. And they began to fast. And they began to get ready. He said, "I want to seek of Him a right way for us and for all the little ones and for our substance." You see, there is only one right way with God, and that's God's way. Man cannot dictate to God what he will do. God will dictate to man what man must do in order to be saved. We must trust the Word of God, and we must trust the God of the Word. And that's what Ezra was trying to get across to these people. Before he would take them one step, they had to devote themselves to God. They had to trust the God that they were about to go to His place, His homeland, His city. And so the first step of faith is trust. And then he goes on. He was ashamed to go to the king and ask for help. He wanted those people to put themselves totally in God's hands and to recognize that it was God that would protect them or they were dead on the way. He wanted them, before they took one step, to put their complete faith in God. To recognize that the only way they would make this journey, it was a long journey. It would take them 4 months. and they would be going through treacherous territory. There were many robbers and highwaymen that were along that area, and they preyed upon travelers. And Ezra looked at his group of people, 2,000 of them, but none of them were trained soldiers. None of them had any training whatsoever in protecting themselves, or they were not hardened people for this journey. The only thing he could do was rely completely upon the sovereignty and the protection of his God. And so he told them they needed to trust. We fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. They repented of their sins, and they fasted. It doesn't do any good to fast if you're not going to repent of your sin. You have to move away from your sin and put yourself completely in God's hands. Fasting is a powerful tool of the church. We don't use it very often, probably to our detriment. But it does no good to fast if you are not willing to walk away from sin. None whatsoever. There has to be a complete turning to God before a fast will do anything at all. And Ezra knew that and demanded of the people that they repent. Now, beginning in verse 24, we see the second thing, the second step of faith. He said, "Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with him." 12 priests, one for each of the tribes of Israel. And he said, "I weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered." You see, when Ezra went to the king and he told him about his God, and he told him that there was a place of worship in Jerusalem that had been destroyed by the Babylonians, and that his people were discouraged because they could not worship in the temple of their God. The king, like so many kings who were superstitious, said, "If there is a God out there that I'm not aware of, I need to be on the good side of him. So what I'll do is I'll offer you gold and silver. You take the gold and silver, you take it to down there and you put it in your temple, you use it in the ministry of your God." And by doing such, he encouraged the other people of the nation, the empire, to recognize the God of Israel as well. And so an offering was taken up. And there was a great deal of money, great deal of gold and silver that was given into the hands. The Israelites that did not go back were more than willing to send money. It's amazing how we think that by giving money, we can appease God. There are many people who think that that's all there is to making God happy. You write out a check and you put it in the offering plate. Doesn't matter what kind of a life you choose to live. As long as you give lots of money, everything's going to be fine. And you see, these people thought the same thing. They didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. They didn't want to go back and serve God. What they wanted to do, they thought that if they gave money, that it would be used and God would be happy. God recognized that gift, but that wasn't what he wanted. God had moved the heart of a king to release the people, but the people wouldn't go. Ezra went back with about 2,000. And so he begins now to divvy up or to give all this gold and silver out to the priesthood. "He weighed unto them the silver, the gold, the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents." What that amounted to was about 25 ton of silver. That's a lot of silver. And then there were about 8 ton, or 16,000 pounds, of silver vessels to be used and to be given and offered in the temple. Gold, 100 talents. Another 8 ton. Now you begin to see how much money, what kind of wealth these people were carrying with them. 2,000 people. But none of them knew how to defend it. They had all of this wealth, but no soldiers. And so they had to rely completely and totally upon God here. They had to place their trust in Him. But now these priests who had been given the money, they had to be committed. They now had to commit completely to their calling. Remember, He didn't have any priests before. He went out and got them. Now these priests have to make a commitment before God. They've repented of their sins. Now they've committed themselves to follow through and to be faithful to their calling. And now they're going to handle the things of the temple. All the gold and the silver that had been donated and been given to Ezra and the people to take back to the temple was put in the hands of the priesthood. And in verse 28 he said, "I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them, until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord." So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. So we find that, first of all, He made them confess their sins and prepare themselves to trust God. Secondly, He now committed the priesthood. They had to be committed to the cause. The money for the temple had been put in their hands. They now had responsibility. The church today is the priesthood of God. And precious things of God have been placed in our hands. What are we doing with them? Part of the message this morning, we dealt with that, didn't we? What are we doing with the calling that God has placed upon our lives? And these people now who are priests and have been given all of this money, and Ezra reminds them that it's holy. These vessels are holy. They've been given to the temple. They've been given to God. But now they've been placed in the priest's hands. And God's people tonight, we have had precious things of God placed in our hands that are holy. We have to be committed to those things. We have to protect those things. Watch ye and keep them, verse 29. Now, in verse 31, it says, "Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month, to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way." The third step of faith is exactly that. There comes a time when we first put our trust in God. We have to be saved. We have to commit. We have to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have to put our lives in His hands. We have to repent of our sin. Then we commit ourselves to the cause of Christ. We offer ourselves to God, to the work of God. But you can talk all you want to talk. There comes a time when you have to walk. There comes a time when you have to step out by faith and do. And that's exactly what they did. They departed from the river of Ahava. They began to travel with God. We talk about our walk in Christ. That's what they were doing. They were walking in God here. They had no soldiers. They had no protection. The only one they could look to was God. And now they stepped out by faith. They trusted God. They committed to God. Now they walk with God. And they began to travel. And you know what they found? They found the same thing that you and I find as we walk through our walk of faith with God in this life. They found that God delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. When we step out by faith and we begin to walk with God, it's amazing how we see God work in our lives and how God protects us and how God is there for us. So many times God protects us, we don't even know He's protecting us. God is there because we have committed ourselves to Him and we've put our trust and our faith in Him. And God is not going to let down your faith in Him. And so they learned to travel. They left, they departed, and they walked with God. Now in verse 32 it says, "We came to Jerusalem." 4 months went by. And now they've made it to Jerusalem. And what did they do? They abode there 3 days. They did nothing after they came. They just sat there. They praised God and gave God thanks that He had protected them on the journey. Oh, if there's a place in our lives as Christians that we fail God over and over, it's that place where we give thanks. Where we stop and realize all that God has done. When we just take time to thank God. To give Him the glory. For 3 days, that's all they did. They came to Jerusalem. They had made it. And they abode there 3 days. They just sat there for 3 days and gave God the glory. They gave God the glory. And so, on the fourth day, verse 33, was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah the son of Benui, Levites, by number and by weight of everyone, and all the weight was written at that time. You know what this was? This was the day of accountability. The money that had been put, this all the gold and silver that had been put in the hands of the priests, now was weighed. The journey was over. It was now time to be accountable before God and before the nation with what they had been entrusted with. There's coming a day in your life and in my life when we are going to stand before our high priest and we're going to be weighed. At the Bema Seat of Christ, everything that we have done for God, from the moment that we have accepted Jesus, repented of our sins, and began our journey of faith by trust and commitment, all of that is going to be weighed in the balances when we stand before Jesus Christ, and our life is going to be judged. We'll be rewarded accordingly as to what we have done for Jesus Christ after all that Jesus Christ has done for us. There is a day of accountability. What are we doing with the holy things that God has placed in our hands? There's coming a day when we will stand before the living God and we will be accountable for those holy things. Now in verse 35, it says, the children of those that had been carried away, which would come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. Think about that. Now that they have praised God and they've thanked God and they've been held accountable, what do? They worship. Think about that in the book of Revelation when John is taken up. And he sees this great multitude beyond number in the heavens. And what are they saying? Glory. Worthy is the Lamb. You see, these people, they had to bring lambs and they had to bring bullocks and they had to bring he-goats and they brought the sacrifices. But there's coming a day, my friend, after we have stood in the presence of God and we have been judged according to what we have done with the holy things of God, we're going to be worshiping God for eternity and we're going to say, worthy is the Lamb because He's already been the sacrifice for our sins. And we glory in that. That is the result of our faith and our walk with God. We're going to worship. Not only do we worship here, but we're going to worship in heaven before the throne of the living and mighty and almighty God and the sovereign God of all things. We will be worshiping Him. And finally, in verse 36, it says, they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people in the house of God. They had a testimony before that pagan king they had left in the other land. They had a testimony before the world they had left. And they gave an account, and they sent these commissions with the king's lieutenants to the governors on that side of the river. In other words, they left something behind. They had a legacy in the world. They were not of the world, but they were in the world. And they left a legacy in that world. Their legacy was, we can be trusted. We had told you that our God would protect us. He protected us. We've made that journey of faith, and God was faithful to that journey. And God was with us day by day, step by step. And here's the proof of it. We made it to Jerusalem, and here is the commission from all that you have given us. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But render unto God what belongs to God. Friend, when we step into the place of glory, and we are judged, we are weighed before God, based upon what we have done with the holy things that God has given us. And we enter into that time of eternal worship. If God does not call the church home in our lifetime, every one of us is going to leave a legacy here. Every one of us leaves something behind. What are you leaving behind for God? Those that you have brought to Jesus Christ will be left behind here to tell others about the Lord. That which you have done in the context of the church and the helping of the building of God's work and God's missions, they all build legacies that will be left behind. What will you be remembered for when you're gone? Yeah, you'll be praising in heaven. But who's going to remember you here? Well, they say that was a man, that was a woman that you could trust. That was a man or a woman who served God, loved God. That was what I'd like to be. That told the world that God loved them. That one was responsible for my son or my daughter coming to Christ. That one was responsible for sending missionaries to a foreign field. That one was responsible for the building of the church and the encouraging of the saints. What kind of a legacy are we going to leave behind? Whether it's good or bad, we will all leave something behind to this earth. We praise God for this walk of faith, the journey that we are on tonight as we are walking with Christ and for Christ. But don't forget that if God were to call you home tonight, you will leave a legacy behind. All the people you have touched will still be here. What will they remember about your life? And what will you leave them that will build up their faith and will be a positive aspect of their life that might possibly influence them to repent of their sins and embrace your God? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message of Ezra, for his faithfulness, for his desire to serve you and to lean on you and you alone. We thank you, Lord, for your calling upon our lives. And I pray, Father, tonight that each one of us would recognize the responsibility that we have to serve you, to love you, to prepare for your coming. I pray, Father, that you would bless us as we leave your church tonight. And during this week, I pray that you would bring someone into our lives that we might be able to witness to, that we might see come to know Christ. If there's one here tonight that does not know you, then Father, I pray that they would cry out to you right where they sit and ask for forgiveness, that they might repent of their sins and that they might learn to trust you and commit to you and walk with you. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the tremendous sacrifice of your Son. And God, we pray that as a church we might never forget the cost of our salvation. Help us to be faithful. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.